Well, my friends, and welcome to St. Mark's, to our Ash Wednesday service. And as we gather together this evening, we turn our hearts and our heads toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the time that he came to this earth to take our sin upon himself. And as we remember what he has done for us, and as we remember how he made us his own in our baptisms, let us begin our worship service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us stand and sing "Jesus, I Will Ponder Now." Now let us confess our sins. And as you see here, there's two confessions in every worship service, one where we confess our sins, the other where we confess our faith. And I think in the bulletin, we got those a little confused tonight. So first we'll confess our sins and receive absolution. Then we'll confess our faith. Okay, we'll do that. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight, and we know that we have fallen short of your desires for us. And on this Ash Wednesday, Lord, we begin the Lenten season turning our hearts and our heads, remembering the times that we have fallen short of your glory. Lord, it's a time when we will consider our sin deeply, and not just the actions that are wrong, Lord, but the wrongness that goes to the very core of our beings, to understand the depth of our depravity, the depth of our sin, the rot that goes right to the center of our lives. So that, Lord, we may understand the immense need of salvation. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have died on the cross and made it possible for us to be saved. And so, Lord, in spite of all that we have done wrong, Lord, we turn to you for grace, and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for the Spirit to come into us and to help us do better. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And in keeping with the confession that we have given us, God tells us that if we confess, he forgives our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And so tonight, I, in the place of God, I, because God has commanded me to do so, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and I forgive you your sin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us use the words of the Nicene Creed to confess our faith in our God. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he will come with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this evening, Lord, because of the death and resurrection of your Son. We have life because you died for us. You rose for us so that we can have new life. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you have made it possible for us to be in your presence and for you to welcome us here as your children. Lord, as we head into this season of Lent, we ask that you would help us to be mindful of our sin, that we would meditate upon it, that we would see how deep it goes, that we would realize more deeply the need for a Savior. So that when Easter Sunday comes and the day dawns and the new life is here, we will have that much more reason to celebrate because we know how much this salvation has done. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of us this evening, Lord, as we go through our lives. We pray that you would continue to be with us and help us with all the struggles and hardships that we face, Lord. We also thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful joys that you've given us. Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, Lord, those in the Ukraine who are suffering during time of war, Lord, those who are in unfriendly countries where Christians are persecuted, that you would continue to hold up our brothers and sisters and help them to be strong in their faith, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to provide for us, Lord, but provide for all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Give them, Lord, the things that they need for this life, but especially, Lord, continue to provide for them all that they need so that they may be secure in their faith until you come for us again. Lord, we know that you have promised to do this. Help us, Lord, as we continue to live in this world. All these things we bring to you this day, Lord, and we pray the prayer that you've taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The reading for tonight is Psalm 51. Verses 1 through 13, we read responsibly. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out my iniquity. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Please be seated. Ash Wednesday is kind of a strange thing in our current culture. You know, what's the big deal with ashes anyway? We had a discussion out in the lobby while we were eating dinner tonight. We were asking where the ashes come from, and there's a lot of tradition about the ashes. You know, they could come from the palms from the previous Easter, and that would be a very good thing. These are purchased because that's a lot of work. And but the thing is this. The question is, why ashes and why Ash Wednesday, and I guess by extension, why Lent? And the answer is this. We've sinned, and our sin causes us grief. When Christ saved us, when we were baptized and brought into his family, when we were given new hearts that want to follow after God, we were given a heart that wants to obey him, and yet we're filled with sin and constantly fall short of his obedience to him, and that causes us to be sad. That causes us grief. It causes us to have repentant hearts, but not repentant in the sense of just a quick I'm sorry and move on, but a repentance that really weighs us down. And this is a season where we want to be able to focus on that a bit. Our temptation is that we would have easy forgiveness. We talk about it as cheap grace. You know, sin is no big deal. Don't worry about it. Just go ask and be forgiven and it'll be all taken care of, as if sin doesn't matter. And the truth is, sin does matter. Sin is rebellion against God. Sin is us making ourselves into our own gods, or that we make something else a god in this world. Sin is turning our back on God. Sin is really deep, and to understand how deep sin goes into us, it's not just that the devil tempts us and we sin. That's very superficial, right? It'd be nice if we could blame somebody else. And it's not just that the world around us causes us to sin, although that is true. The world definitely isn't cooperating with our new nature. But it's that we are sinful right to our core. That we are the biggest ally of sin in our lives. As much as we want to do what is right, we also want to sin. And that causes us grief when we realize that we are living in rebellion to God. And so as we go through Lent, that's what this season is for, us to be honest with ourselves and honest, honestly coming to God with our sin and giving ourselves a chance to actually take time to meditate on our sin and to see the harm it's doing in the world, to see the harm it's doing with our relationship with God, to see the harm it does with our families, to say the way it hurts the people around us, the way it hurts ourselves, and to take responsibility for that sin and to bring that sin then to God and then joyfully receive the forgiveness of that sin. And we've heard of, giving up things for Lent. It's been a piety that's been around for the longest time. And what that's really about in the end is a reminder. I mean, if I'm constantly remembering that I'm forgetting something, You know, or that I'm not having something like a food, or if I had to give up coffee, number one, that would not be nice to anybody around me. But if I did give up coffee, it would, the constant feeling of not having coffee, the constant, you know, that would be a constant reminder that I would program my brain that every time I'm like, ooh, I want, no, I must think, I must meditate on my, I must pray, I must do, I must seek after what is going on in my life and where have I gone wrong so that I can bring those sins to God. See how this goes? That it's a persistent reminder, a pebble in our shoe, right? That constantly reminds us and calls us back to the work of confession that we get to do through the Lenten season. And so with that, if you care to, it is only a piety. It is something that has worked for people. It's not a law. You don't have to do it. But to invite you into that tradition of confession as we enter this season. But also tonight, we put ashes on our heads, and this is another Old Testament thing, right? Where the people, when they were in serious grief, they would sit in ashes and they would sprinkle them on their head and they'd wear sackcloth and they would tear their clothes and they'd just be in serious grief. And we put ashes on ourselves today to symbolize the grief that we have over our sin, but we also put the ashes on in the shape of a cross, right? And where was the other place where we had the cross put on our foreheads? Right? Every baptism, I say, receive the sign of the cross on your forehead and upon your heart, marking you as one redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. This is a law and a gospel thing. The law is we're sorry over our sin. The gospel is we're wearing the mark of Christ, the one who died for us. And so as we come forward, I'm going to be putting it upon you, and I'm going to be saying ashes to ashes, dust to dust, because our sin leads to death. And you're going to say, but Easter is coming. All right? Easter is coming. Reading for tonight is Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 32. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godless and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like immortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to sinful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Well, that's harsh. Thing is, what I see in this text for today is this. There is a truth. There is one way. There is one God. There is one gospel. And Paul glories in the gospel. You know, I mean, when Paul is talking about not being ashamed of the gospel, he's talking about something that really costs him something. I mean, you remember the litany of Paul, right? I mean, how many times was he beaten and left for dead and thrown in chains and left shipwrecked? And I mean, all the things that he sacrificed, all the ways that he suffered so that he could get this gospel out. And he's saying, even with all the costs that this has cost me personally, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And he glories in the gospel, and he glories in the God of the gospel. And what more is there to say except what happens when we don't? And you know what I think is really interesting about this is that this reading gets to some really dark places and some really gross sins, right? I mean, right down to they disobey their parents. And we would say, well, that doesn't seem like such big of a deal, right? Except that look at the sins that sin is right in the middle of and think, well, what does God think of that, right? And also remember, you know, what's commandment number 4? Obey your parents, right? What's commandment number 5? Don't kill each other. God got to not disobeying parents before he got to killing. So how big of a deal is that? You see how quickly we reshuffle the commandments in our heads and we think, well, that one's not such a big deal. Well, this one is. Well, wait a minute. If you talk to God, I think he basically says, no, they all matter. They're all terrible, horrible, and ruin our lives. But, you know, the thing is about this is that The people who end up in all these really gross sins and gross situations, they start out by simply ignoring God. They start out by just stopping thinking about God. Just stop overtly following him. Stop knowing him. Stop being a disciple. And just let life drift. That's where it begins. You know? And pretty soon what happens is they hear lots of other messages in the world. Lots of other people who have things that they would say are true. And so pretty soon, to get along with the world, they just kind of say the things that they have to say in order to get along, which is what it means when you suppress the truth with wickedness. And even though God has made his existence clear to us, I mean, the thing is that the people who should be the most worshipful of God are the people who understand God's creation most, which would be the scientists who examine and explore the creation of God. The more we understand, the more we understand that we don't understand. I mean, it's just that the miracle of life, you know, that we can go through the stages of the development of a creature from the conception to, you know, the natural death and all of the things that are happening at all of the different times in the life of any creature that God has created on earth. And you realize we can define so many things, but we cannot even really truly figure out the miracle of life itself. You know, We can't take something dead and make it alive. We can sit there with our test tubes and we can put together, you know, molecules and atoms and all these things, and we can try and we can work, but we cannot do life. And we can't help but marvel at the complexity of the nature that God made. You know, I mean, the irreducible complexities that are just everywhere around us. Creatures that exist because they live in a community with other creatures. And that without those other creatures, they wouldn't be able to live. You know, these little critters that like clean the teeth of sharks. And that's all they eat, is the stuff that's in the shark's teeth. Well, they would starve without sharks. And sharks would be in trouble without them. And so we have irreducible complexity. Neither creature can live without the other. So how on earth did one arrive first, and which one did, and how would that work? You know, I mean, you look at the different components in your eye, the lens, which is this crazy complex thing that is able to focus different, you know, at different distances, at least when you're young. I mean, when we're middle age and stuff, then, you know. But nevertheless, I mean, all these, you know, but then the lens doesn't make any sense if it doesn't have the retina, which doesn't make any sense if it doesn't have the optic nerve. So which one came first, and why would it come if it didn't have the others? Irreducible complexity. We look at the world today and it is incredible to think that there was somehow that we could make a case that these things would happen naturally by accident. It makes no sense. But yet those who are you know, determined to believe it will. And they will find a way to persuade themselves to walk right past the obvious miracle of God. And so the God who has made himself obvious in nature by the incredible creation that God has made, by the determined ignorance of people, will be ignored. And once God is ignored, what is holding any kind of morality together? And so people fall very quickly into hopeless sin. Sin that is always promising that if you just go a little bit farther, things will be wonderful. Things get better if you go just a little deeper. But do things ever get better? Only worse and worse. Hopeless sin. And that's really the reality that we are shown in this text for today. That since God is real, God's plan is salvation. God's plan is Jesus. God's plan is faith in him. God's plan is restoration. God's plan is anticipating eternal life in heaven because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. God's plan is glorious. And sin wants us. And so here's the challenge. I mean, I could preach this text so that we could talk about how all the people out there are horrible and we're really good, right? Yeah, you think I'm going there? No, not so much. Here's the thing. Sin wants you. And sin is slippery, and sin has all kinds of false promises. You know? Sin is the one that'll tell you that, you know what, self-care is really important. You know what I mean? Making sure you get enough sleep, that's a very important thing. And so if you're out really late every other night of the week, you know what? Sleeping in on Sunday might be healthy for you. Right? Well, it makes sense, right? I mean, isn't self-care important? Isn't sleep important? Well, yeah, but is that what should be sacrificed so that you can sleep? Or maybe you should skip a TV show a little bit too late at night. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's other things that could be sacrificed, but sin is slippery. You know, when a neighbor in need comes to you on the day that you're just tired, and you know that They're coming to you, and this is an amazing opportunity to show Christ's love and to start that relationship, and that relationship, you have no idea what the Holy Spirit could do with that relationship, but maybe next week, right? Sin is slippery. And here's the thing about this season, is that we want to make sure that we are being guarding ourselves against sin. And the way we can do that is by actually taking some time to think about our sin. And I'm not trying to get you to think about your sin so you can feel really, really super bad for it. Because, I mean, we will, right? I mean, that's the reason we don't like to think about our sin, is because it will make us feel bad. You know, nothing is worse for your self-esteem than realizing how messed up you actually are. Right? But nothing is better for your self-worth than knowing that God loves you anyway. But nothing is going to be more toxic in your life than sin that you don't notice because you haven't looked for it. The sin that sneaks up on you because you're busy. The sin that sneaks up on you because you're tired. The sin that sneaks up on you because you're distracted. So this Lenten season, I'm not trying to make you question your faith, because that's not what this is about. We're not saved because we are, you know, do this or do that or are good enough or anything like that. We're saved because of what Jesus has done for us. But this is an opportunity for us to come clean to ourselves so that we can come clean before God about the sins that are sneaking up on us, the sins that are in our lives that we know need to be addressed, but we're just not giving it the time. Do I have to explain anymore? It's kind of like, yeah. Lots of things are coming into my head right now. This is not comfortable. You have a mean pastor. But the thing is that it was funny. I was at the doctor just yesterday, and we were talking about this stuff because he's a member of a local church too. And, you know, I was saying, you know, if we sacrifice truth, like the truth about ourselves and how dark our sin is and how messed up we are, I said it would be like him walking into the office knowing somebody has cancer and not telling them so, because he doesn't want to hurt their feelings. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to be able to just send them home feeling good about themselves? But is that loving? Or is it more important that we face the problems that we have in us? And with the help of the Holy Spirit and through the forgiveness that Jesus has earned for us on the cross, face our sin and deal with our sin appropriately by confessing it before God and leaving it at the cross and receiving forgiveness for that sin, and then praying that God would help us to prevent us from falling into that sin again. But if it does happen, what do we do then? We go back to God with the same sin and the same forgiveness and the same repentance and the same grief over that sin, but we go back to God and we are forgiven again. Persistently forgiven, because God persistently loves us. This is our task over this Lenten season. And so every week you guys come back here again, we're going to be talking about another sin. Another way that we fall short of God's will. Another way that the devil can be sneaking sin into our lives. Also that we can receive the grace that he has for us on the other end. Let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God who has made an amazing world and have made yourself evident to us, Lord, through that world, but also through your word, that we know you and know you, what your will is for us, that we know your grace and your love, that we know the relationship that you have made possible for us with you, Lord, that we are your children, forgiven and loved. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to live as your people, that we would be able to do the things that you have asked us to do in this world, Lord, but knowing that we will never be able to get that quite right in this world. Help us, Lord, to fall on your grace. And help us, Lord, as we seek out that sin in our lives so that we can belong to you, Lord, as much as we are humanly able to. Send your Spirit to help us, Lord, because alone we're not able. All this we ask in your name. Amen. We will now continue with the Lord's Supper. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
How deeply we need our that are cold, for seizing control, for scorning our very Maker. In thought, word, and deed, we fail to our King. How deeply we need a Savior. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us.
That our God has ministers to us, how he reaches, how he steps into our world to be here with us in this moment, that he is truly present in that body and blood. I mean, he is here, he is always with us, but in this, he is with us in a much more personal way. And that through this gift, he gives us forgiveness of sins. It's truly a miracle. And one that can give us great peace. That our God is here with us. Emmanuel. Blessings. And receive our Lord's blessings as you go. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. Praise this Jesus. Okay, that was short. I expected more verses. Anyway, folks, it has been wonderful worshiping with you today. I'm sorry for the bulletin. Here's the thing, is I was really sick on Monday, and Leslie sent this to me on Monday to have it approved, and I just said, fine, just fine. I should have looked a little more carefully. I'm really sorry for that. That's on me. God's blessings on your week, folks. We rely on a God who is forgiving of all of us. Yeah? Exactly. Thanks. Blessings on your Lenten season.